Oh, we thank you, our Father, you're inside of us, not just watching, but working.
Amen.
And we yield to the work of the Spirit in us and that comes upon us. Mm. We yield to your word, which is anointed of the Spirit. Mm. And we thank you. Your voice, we hear it today. Your word, we declare it, and we digest it, and we leave here to walk in it. And we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to wrap up where we've been going. The gifts of the Spirit, faith in God, how to be healed. How to be healed. There's some how-tos, some things that will help us to anchor our faith and to stay steadfast, unmovable, abounding in the provision of God. Isaiah 53 says, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord? The arm of the Lord is the power, the strength of God. It says, who has believed our report? Who's believed the message that we've sent? Who's been listening to what we've been telling you? And then he says, to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Well, the arm of the Lord is the power of the Lord, and it's obviously revealed to the person who believes the message.
Yes.
And when you hear the word and you believe that word and you begin to speak and confess that word and act according to that word, because life and death is in the power of the tongue, so we can say the wrong thing and damage our faith. We can talk too much about my knee hurts, my stomach is killing me. Why we use that expression, I don't know, because you're still here. Right?
<Yes.
laughs> And damage our faith. But we're going to believe the report. We've talked about believing the report of the Word. The Word is the anointed Word of God. It's the living Word of God. It has life according to Hebrews 4:12. It's living. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So we can lean strictly on the Word, strictly on what Jesus has done at the cross. And that's in Isaiah 53. Surely he hath borne, lifted up, carried off, and removed to a distance the entire weight of our grief, sickness. Listen to this list. Grief, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. You'll find that in the Amplified. Surely. The only way I can remember anybody saying that, somebody said, surely you didn't. You know, and that was not a good thing. But when he said surely, he said, it's absolutely certain. This is a certain word from God. He has lifted up and carried off and removed to a distance. And that's the meaning of the word in the King James. It's what your garbage man does. He lifts up your can. He was there just this morning. And he very gently places it back in front of the house. Actually, Wayne had to stop and move it because they're not gentle. But he lifts it up. He takes the garbage away. And nobody chases after the garbage man, do they? You want to know what he did with your garbage? No, me either. Wayne has a truck. He's the family truck. And they'll call every now and then to carry something to the dump or disposal place. And he'll pick them up. And once they dump it there, they don't look for it anymore. Now, there's some things that Jesus did for you that once you believe it, you don't have to look in that direction anymore.
Right.
Now, the King James says, by his stripes you were healed. But a lot of well, the translators say, by his lashes you were healed. And I like that. I think that helps your heart, by his lashes. You know, stripes, it doesn't ring a chord in my body. I mean, you can paint in stripes, right? If you wanted to. By his lashes. He served the punishment, paid my debt, and I'm free. And any time the devil accuses me, I say, in Jesus' name, you have no right to speak to my heart. And I take my stand because my debt is paid and my diseases are paid for. And it says, he paid for the chastisement of my peace, which is shalom, which means to have a successful journey. It's very much the word in 3 John, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, which means to have a successful journey through life.
Amen.
And be in health, even as your soul prospers. So the soul is the mind, the will, and emotion. It prospers as I meditate in the word. The more I meditate, the more I confess the word, the more I believe it. And the more I believe it, the stronger it gets in my heart. And it begins to work. And I began, long before I see anything, I began to praise God. The walls of Jericho, they shouted before the walls came down. You know, we shout when I feel tremendously better today. And then you're real happy and you're shouting. But if you feel worse today, you're not shouting too much. But the shout of victory comes because of what Jesus has done. The shout of victory comes because your debt is paid, your sickness is paid for, and you can walk and have a successful journey, a prosperous journey in life. And that is the will of God. And that's just simply believing the word of God. Just believing what God has said. That's all there is to it. God said, you're healed, I'm healed. You know, have you ever lost something?
Yes.
And the person you live with says, I put it on the counter. And you look on the counter, you don't see it. And I said, where'd you say you put it? On the counter. And I begin to question. I begin to doubt. And that's what pain does. It makes us question. It makes us doubt. But you cannot doubt God. You cannot doubt His Word. You cannot contradict His Word and have victory. So we can just believe the Word, believe the promise, believe the message. Who has believed the message? To whom is the arm of the power of the Lord received? Surely He hath borne, lifted up, carried off, and removed with His entire weight. And that word is emphasizes how heavy a load it was for Him. That He did for you. The entire weight He lifted up and carried off and moved to a distance. And that's all I need to walk in victory. And if my body contradicts that, I don't listen. I know somebody's been talking to you and you weren't really listening. You've been there? And I'm going, And Wayne will say, what did she say? And I said, I don't really know what she was saying. You don't do that. Of course, you're good listeners, but sometimes my mind drifts. But I can't drift when I read the Word of God and know the Word of God has healed me, and my debt, my sickness, my disease, my pain and distress is all taken away. It was taken away by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So that's the first way we did that very thoroughly. The second way is by the anointing. We can be healed by faith in the Word, faith in the anointing. The anointing is transferred, is sent from heaven through a messenger into your body, and it comes to you by faith. And we have that so clearly written in the woman with the issue of blood. So she said, if I touch but His garment, I shall be whole. And when she touched His garment, said she felt in her body. So there is a tangible transfer of anointing. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And the interesting thing, Jesus didn't say, my power healed you. He didn't say, my power healed you. He said, your faith healed you, because it was the faith that caused the power to be transmitted from heaven through the messenger into her body. And without faith, that power would have been dormant. She would never have received the power if she'd stand there with her fingers crossed and I hope this works. So we know that. The third way is through the prayer of faith, and James simply says the prayer of faith will save the sick. Doesn't say it might, it could. I hope it does. Give it a shot. You never know. It could work out for you. No, he says it will. So when I pray the prayer of faith, or I have someone come into agreement with me, and we stand together, I know that prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, the interesting thing we talked about last week, healing can be instant or progressive. Now, we like instant. I like instant. This is why you go to fast food place, because the food's already. And all you have to do is order, and a few minutes later, they come running out to your car. They either have your name or your car color, but they know it's you. Do you know God knows it's you?
Yes.
He knows it's you. And so we pray the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith does save the sick. And we stand on that prayer. It says, it's confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we know He hears us, we know we have. We know we have. We know we have. We know we have what we desire. We've got that. We've got to turn loose of being so sensually oriented. But I don't feel better. I told you about the lady. She came, wanted me to pray for her. And I think the line in the front of the church was very long. She just didn't want to wait in line. So she thought, well, Becky will do. And so it's fine. That doesn't, you can't hurt my feelings. Wayne can, but you can't. That's how that works. And so I laid my hand on her and prayed for her. And when I did, she said, well, that didn't work. She's looking for instant results. She wants to feel something. She's looking for a feeling. But sickness and disease is a feeling, but faith is not. Faith is not felt. Faith is demonstrated by the action of God, and it may be progressive, it may be over time. The little woman who had been very sick for a long time, was not able to eat, went to a healing meeting and left totally, completely well. And she went across the street and had two Mexican dinners. That's a true story. Two Mexican dinners. She had instant results. Her stomach and digestive system, which had not worked, did not work, instantly worked. Why, I think, I tell God, now that's a good idea. That's a really good idea. But I'm anchored if this takes time. And when the man went for Jesus to come and pray for his son, and Jesus said, go home, your son lives, that's John chapter 4, he said, when his people came to tell him, your son is living, he said, when did he begin to amend? And the day you pray is the day it began. It's not the day you felt it. It's the day it began. All of those are manifestations of your faith. Now, in 1 Corinthians 12, we have the gifts of healings that don't operate by faith. You cannot order a gift. If you give a big house, you get a beautiful new home, and you have a housewarming, and you send me an invitation, it never says on the bottom, please bring a gift. It sometimes says, please don't bring a gift. But you can't tell me to bring a gift or not to bring a gift. That's a condition of my heart. That's whether I want to bring the gift. And you can't tell God, I'm not going to exercise my faith. That's what you're saying. Just send it. Just give it to me. Now, that's what happens here. These nine manifestations of the Spirit are given by God because He sees the benefit of doing that for you. He has a divine design. Now, if you look at verse 1, are you in chapter 12, verse 1? Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. There's been a lot of ignorance of this subject and a lot of misinformation and a lot mistaught. And do you notice, you see, if you have your Bible, the word gifts is added by the translators. It's italicized, which means it was not in the original text. The original text says concerning spiritual or concerning things of the Spirit, concerning things of the Holy Ghost. He said, don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know what the Holy Ghost is doing. Now, these are not by faith. These are by divine design. These are sent by heaven. Our part as a church is to see the purpose of them and to desire them. Now, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant. And he talks about them worshiping idols. They came from idol worship. So sometimes when the Spirit began to move, those that came from idol worship would fall back into that trap, and they would say, Jesus is cursed. That's because that's the background they came from, and they hadn't quite turned loose of all that yet. But this tells us, and it tells them, not so much us, because we don't have that problem today, that when the Spirit is moving, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is always, that's verse 3, is declared as Lord, our Master, one supreme in authority. We're talking about not healing by faith, not healing because the Word said, not healing because prayer was made, not healing because the anointed came into our body and healed us, healing because God sent it. All of these are God sent. Now, have y'all heard that before? I don't want to run over you too fast, but I'm going somewhere. There are diversities of gifts, the same Spirit. Differences of administration, the same Lord. Diversities of operations, the same God, which works all in all. But the manifestation of Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. The correct term for these nine is manifestations, not gifts. In a general sense, they come from heaven. God has sent them, and so in a general sense, they are gifts. In a specific sense, they would probably be, as described above, administrations, operations. They are different ways that the Holy Ghost works in different people. Sent by God, orchestrated by heaven, not orchestrated by my faith. Now, it says manifest. When something's manifest, it's revealed. So the Holy Ghost is going to reveal something. He's going to send something. And in our case, we're talking about gifts of healing. But I'm going to go over a couple of other of these so that you'll get them. This is very seldom taught. I very seldom teach it myself. I have purpose today, and we'll get to that. Now it says, to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. Do you see there are nine of those, and the emphasis is the Spirit, sent by the Spirit, sent by the Spirit. Now, if we talk about word of knowledge, this is not like Solomon. Solomon had wisdom. But the Lord asked him, "What can I do for you? What do you want?" And he said, "I want wisdom to lead these people." That's not this gift. This gift of knowledge or wisdom, wisdom has to do with future. Knowledge is always past and present. Now, when somebody gives a prophecy, sometimes it has word of wisdom, a word of knowledge embedded in the prophecy. But the word of wisdom and word of knowledge is not prophecy. It was delivered by prophecy, but it isn't prophecy. Does that make sense to you? Now, it says, word of knowledge is in this list. This is not knowledge by study. This is not knowledge by practice. You know, you can just do something over and over again and learn something. This is what you didn't know till God told you. And the scripture is full of these. We don't look at them too much, but there's many, many of these in the scripture. And we talk about it's a word of knowledge. It's not a paragraph of knowledge. It's not a page of knowledge. It's a word. It's a very fragmentary part of what God knows that he told you. Now, Jesus, when he met the woman at the well, the disciples had gone into the village to get food, and he introduced her to living water, but she didn't understand that. She didn't get that. And so he said, "Well, go call your husband." And she said, "I don't have a husband." He said, "I know. You've had five husbands. The man you're living with is not your husband." How did he know that? Jesus is a man, and he's God. He is God in spirit, but he's functioning as a man. He's functioning as one. He gave up his mighty power and glory in Philippians chapter 2. We went over that. And so he's functioning as a man. So he had no way of knowing she had five husbands except the Holy Ghost told him that. That's word of knowledge. It's when he tells you something you didn't know, and if he hadn't told you, you wouldn't have known it. Now, when he went to the man at the pool of Bethesda, he said he's been here 38 years. How'd he know that? He's functioning as a man. He's God and man. And in ministry and power, he's man. How did he know that? Word of knowledge. It's when he tells you what you don't know, you couldn't know, you wouldn't know, unless he told you. And he has purpose. Word of knowledge. Now, word of wisdom is a manifestation of the plan and the power of God. It's always future tense. Agabus, the prophet in the book of Acts, came and told the disciples there's going to be a great famine in the land, and they gathered food to send to the church at Jerusalem. How did he know? Because the Holy Ghost told him. There's going to be a famine in the land. These are very valuable to us to do the work of the ministry. But I can't sit around and be ignorant and say, "I'll just wait till God tells me." Because that's not going to happen. What we do is pull for these to manifest in the church as a whole. It's our part to gather together and to pray that these things manifest, that these things come to pass. Now, when Pastor had his vision, you remember, of the ambulances and so forth? Okay, God gave that as a word of wisdom for that to come to pass. But it only comes to pass as we as a body, we as a church, pray. And when we pray, that gives the Holy Ghost entrance to perform that, to bring that to pass. Our prayer opens the door for the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge to come to pass. That kind of gives us a hint as maybe what we should be doing for the body is praying for what God has said. I'm not praying to participate necessarily. I'm praying, not praying for it to invade my life, although I'm not opposed to that. I'm praying for the church to gather together and to see the hand of God extended by the Spirit. And how does that come to pass? Because we prayed. We know what God was saying. That was word of wisdom, future tense. Obviously so, it hasn't happened. And we're going to pray and see it come to pass. We got the easy part, actually. Going to pray and see it come to pass. Now, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and faith. Sometimes faith is called special faith. The reason is this is not faith by hearing. These are given as the Spirit wills, and that's in verse 11. All these works, that one is same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. This is done as the Spirit wills. It's not done as you want. It's not done because you requested it. It's done because we requested it, because we know the will of God, and we want God to manifest his will in people's lives. And so we've prayed to that extent that all of these gifts, as the Spirit wills, as He sees as necessary, as He directs. Now, anybody can ask for wisdom. If any lack wisdom, let them ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. That's James chapter 1, verse 5. You can ask for wisdom, get wisdom from study, wisdom from the Word. God can give you wisdom and explanation. We're talking about what you didn't know till God told you. Now, Elisha had a servant. Elisha, the Nahum the leper had come and had been healed. Reluctantly, he obeyed the prophet's commission because he didn't like the Jordan River. But he offered the prophet some gold and silver and some clothing. Clothing was a very precious gift in those days. You could wear the same outfit for a year. Clothing was a very precious gift and cherished. And the prophet said, no, I don't need any of that. So when he left and headed home, the servant followed him down and said, we've got two new prophets. They just arrived. They need all these things. And Elisha said, or it was Elisha or Elijah, said to give them to him, and he'd give them to the prophet. And then he took the goods. The Nahum, of course, healed of leprosy, was glad. He was a wealthy man anyway. He was glad to do that. And so he went home and he buried them for himself. He was a liar. And then the prophet said, where'd you go? And he said, oh, I didn't go anywhere. See, we see God working, telling what He knows that we need to know. And he said, I saw you. When the leper got out of the chariot, I saw you. I saw you take the gold and the clothes. I saw you. What was that? See, that was the Holy Ghost manifesting the will of God, showing him, showing the prophet, what had happened. Because if your servant's a liar, you probably should know that in advance, don't you think? Now, how's that going to affect our life? It's going to affect the life of our church if we pray. Now, if you follow the ministry of Catherine Kuhlman, people were healed on the bus coming to the meeting. They were healed before they got into the meeting. They were healed in their cars. They were healed standing on the sidewalk. How did that happen? Because these gifts, or these manifestations is a much better word, were working. They were working. Now, one man came. He came, as I've told you the story before, he came as a driver for somebody he knew that needed a driver. Wanted to go to Catherine Kuhlman, and he could have cared less. He didn't believe in her. But she was healed, and so Catherine Kuhlman always lined them all up and talked to them, what happened to you? And so she came to him, and he's just standing with his friend because he's the driver, that's all. And he said, what happened to you? And he said, well, I came deaf in my left ear, and I got my hearing. So God healed you. Oh, absolutely not, he said. I saw it on video. It's intriguing. He said, absolutely not. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that at all. He said, but you came deaf and now you're here. He said, yeah, but what? It couldn't have been God. It's not God. Have you ever seen Catherine Kuhlman on video? Mm-hmm. Did anybody ever see her in person?
No, not personally.
That's because we're all too young for that, right? I think. God did that. Why did God heal him? He didn't believe in healing. There's no faith there. We don't have faith for these. We have faith as a church that the Holy Ghost will do, it says, as He wills. He's going to do what He sees is right to do. And all we're going to do is cooperate with heaven, pray in the Spirit. That's the best way to get it just right. Now, one fellow prayed for government. He prayed in English. He said he was very unhappy. He thought it's the worst prayer he ever heard. Prayed it himself. He didn't like it. So he did a little research, a little study, and he prayed in English again for the government. And he said, now, that was awful. That was awful. And the Lord spoke to him and said, why don't you let me do it? See, so there is a realm of praying in the Spirit, which is mentioned here, that's supernatural. These are all supernatural. They're not natural. They're not accessed by faith. They're sent by God, and they're sent in response to the prayer of the church. Now, in this list is gifts of healing. It's in verse 9. It says here, gifts of healing. In the original text, both words are plural, and that's important. It's gifts of healings. There is no such thing as a gift of healing. It's gifts of healings. In other words, there are many gifts that heal. Just as there are many prescriptions for many diseases, there are different gifts for different diseases. Gifts of healings. It is plural in the King James sometimes, and sometimes it isn't. But plural of both words is correct, and it would be plural in verse 28 of this chapter, where it says gifts of healings. That's not healing by faith. That's not healing because you believe the word. It's not healing because you prayed the prayer of faith. It's not healing because the anointing passed into you. Now, these gifts are delivered. They can come by vision, by dream, by angel, by inward witness, by voice. John on the Isle of Patmos knew the condition of the seven churches. How did he know? He's on Patmos. He's way away. Do you know he didn't have a telephone? And he's way away. He doesn't know anything except the Lord manifested and told him what the seven churches were doing and where they needed correction. And that's both word of knowledge. This is what they're doing. This is what I want them to do in the future. This is the change I want for the future. And the future is always word of wisdom. And he knew that because God came and told him. See, what I want you, when you need healing, you get yours by faith. Because you have faith in the word, faith in the anointing, faith in prayer. You have faith. You know the covenant. You know Isaiah, where it says, surely he hath lifted up, carried off, removed to a distance the entire weight of our grief, sickness, weakness, distress, pain, and sorrow. He's wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. That's the way we get healing. We get healing because we believe the word, we believe the sacrifice, we believe in the blood. If we sit around and wait on a gift, I might greet you next time in heaven. Because God didn't say I'm sending gifts to individuals. He sent them to the church, and he sent the Spirit to orchestrate that and to determine. Y'all got all that?
Yes.
Now look at John chapter 5 and let me show you. This is a tremendous example. This is not healing by faith. You're healed by faith. God sends as we pray. Gifts of healing, word of knowledge, word of spirit. You know that. See, word of knowledge is not talking about natural knowledge that comes by study. Word of wisdom is not by great mental acumen and brilliance. Gifts of healing is not healing by medical science. Your doctor is not giving you the gift of healing unless he's a very unusual man and God uses him in that way, which I haven't seen any of those in Lakeland yet. Tongues is not talking about a great linguist who knows languages and who can interpret several languages. Those nine things come as the Spirit wills. They're supernatural. They're not natural. And I've heard them taught in a natural sense, and that is not right. They're not natural. They're supernatural. God sends them. He directs them. He orchestrates them. So why would he do send one a gift and not the other? I have no idea. You know, I work for him. He doesn't work for me. So he does how he does it. Now in John chapter 5, there was a certain man had infirmity 38 years. How did Jesus know that? Word of knowledge. God told him. That man has been sick 38 years. Jesus saw him lie, knew he had been a long time. He said he knew he had been there a long time. He says, will you be made whole? And the impotent man, that's one who's feeble, weak, sick, powerless, said, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steps down before me. There's no faith in that. The pool of Bethesda would be disturbed by an angel, and if you were the first one in the pool, after the pool waters began to move, you would be the one healed. Only the first one was healed. So what we don't know, see, don't read into the scripture. We do not know he'd been sitting there 38 years. We know he'd been sick 38 years. He could have been sitting there 25 years or 30 years. But Jesus knew he'd been sick a long time, and he'd been sick 38 years. And then he said, I can't get in the pool by myself. Nobody's helping me. In other words, I can't be healed. The only healing he knew was get in the pool when the water moves. And he said, that ain't going to happen. There's no faith here. You see that. And Jesus said, rise and take up your bed and walk. I love that. In the faith, he says, well, you know, I can't be healed. He said, well, get up and walk. What does that sound like to you? He just gave it to him. It was a gift. It wasn't operated by faith. It was a gift. If I said, well, I just can't. And he said, well, rise and get up. Now, the man that was, young man that was paralyzed, that was healed by faith, he went to a Monday night meeting. They laid hands on him and he went home. They dressed him and undressed him, put him at the table, helped him eat supper and then breakfast the next day. And nothing happened. He didn't feel anything. He didn't sense anything. But he sat in the den and he said, over 1,000 times, I said on Tuesday morning, Monday night, the power of God went into me and the power of God's working mightily to effect a healing and a cure. He was depending on the laying on of hands that had brought the power of God into his body. He said it over and over again. He's working his faith. He's not waiting on a gift. You know, that's do for me, bring for me, give to me. And on Wednesday afternoon after lunch, he felt kind of a tingle in his legs, he said, and he thought, I probably could stand up. And so he did stand up. He didn't stand very long. But by 5 o'clock when the family came in, he was running round and round the den. Well, see, he got that by faith. He got that by putting the word of God in his heart. He got that when hands were laid on him and the power of God went into him, and he kept that power working with his faith. He kept that power working with his faith, and that's how he got his healing. It wasn't a gift to him. It was the action of his faith on the anointing. And that's the way we would function, by our faith in the word, faith in the anointing, faith in prayer. But now this man had no faith. And Jesus will get up. And then the Jews caught him, of course, carrying his bed on Sunday, which is a no-no. And they said, who healed you? And he said, verse 13, he that was healed was not who it was. He didn't have a clue who healed him. Did he know it was Jesus? No. Did he know it was the Son? He didn't know anything. He didn't know who it was. He said, well, I don't know who that was. Is there any faith there? See, God gave him a gift. Why did he just give it to him when he didn't have any faith? I don't know. You ask God when you get there. He didn't know who it was, and later Jesus came to him, and verse 14, Jesus finds him in the temple and said, behold, you're made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. Sin no more. Now, not all disease is caused by sin, but as I've said over and over again, you go from man to man, woman to woman, you're going to get some strange disease. And you can't blame that on anybody but the lust of the flesh, and you're yielding to the flesh. Now, he obviously, he said, sin no more. So there had been some sin that it appears had something to do with his disease, that opened the door for disease. Did you notice why I pointed that out to you? It's because God was not offended. He didn't say, I can't heal you because of what you did. He didn't say that. He was not offended by that. You understand that. Now, look at Acts chapter 4. I've said all this so that we'll have some understanding and we can cooperate with what the Lord wants to do in this place, in Family Worship Center, not only in this room, but in the church as a whole. Now, in Acts chapter 4 it is. Is it 4? Do y'all know? I don't actually know where that is, so I'm going to look at my... I bring my notes in case I need them. It is chapter 4. Okay. Close enough, Becky. Look at verse 29. Here's the prayer. The disciples, two of them, had been in prison, and when they were let go, it said they went to their own company. This is united prayer. They were all... Now, this gives you some English, but they weren't all saying exactly the same English words, but they were praying the same prayer for the same thing. They were all on the same page. And here's their prayer. Verse 29, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. The first thing they asked for was boldness to speak, because they've been told, don't leave here and speak anymore in the name of Jesus. That was the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, those in authority said, you quit using that name. Because they thought every time that name comes up, something really great happens, and they're against great. And then he said, okay, we're going to speak with boldness. And then it says, by. It doesn't say and. Now, I struggled with these verses for years and years and years. And every time I read 29 and 30, I thought, what does that say? That says something. See, God is working in me. He's trying to point something out to me. And it says, grant with all boldness we may speak their word by stretching forth your hand. It doesn't say that we may speak your word and stretch forth your hand. It's not two things. It's one thing. Speak thy word by stretching forth. What that means is, when there's healing and signs and wonders, people are going to, like they did in Catherine Coolidge's meeting, they're going to come to watch and to see. And then while they're there, they're going to be captured by the gospel message. It was just posted that Marilyn Hickey had a meeting in Pakistan. There were 1 million people there, and 400,000 accepted Christ. See, if we can get them here, where the gospel is being preached, how are we going to get them here? We're going to stretch forth. God is going to stretch forth his hand to heal. How is he going to stretch forth his hand to heal? And it says signs and wonders to be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. How is that going to happen? Because we're going to pray as a church for that to happen. You see that? Now, in the next verses, you see that their prayer was answered, that they had great boldness. It says, the multitude, verse 32, of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. One heart and one soul. They were so united in purpose. And that's really important, that we pray united in purpose. And it said, with great boldness, they spoke the word. With great boldness. Well, what did they ask for? That's in verse 31. What did they ask for? Boldness to speak the word. And how is boldness going to come? It's going to come by the Spirit, and it's going to come and bring crowds in when the crowds see what's happening. There has never been a minister who was mightily used of God that didn't attract a large crowd. And history records many of them. Now, look at chapter 6, verse 2. Hallelujah. Chapter 8, it is. Verse 6, the people with one accord gave heed unto things which Philip spake. They listened to what Philip said. Why were they listening? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. They were listening because they saw. They came because they saw. They came because they knew something was happening. The one with the issue of blood was supposed to stay home. We don't know if she stayed home or if she was creeping around, but it was against the law for her to be in public, and they would have stoned her had they caught her. And somebody told her what was happening. And she went to Jesus because she heard what was happening. And when you go to Jesus because something's happening here, something's really happening here. Then you're there to hear the message. You didn't come to hear the message. You came to be healed. You came because you heard. Let me read to you again. The people with one accord gave heed unto the things which Philip spake. They listened and they followed what Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And then it talks about unclean spirits went out and many were healed. They saw something and they came because they knew something was happening in Philip's ministry. And when they came and they saw him cast out devils and they saw the sick being healed, they were there when he preached the gospel. Do you see that? Okay. Look at Acts 9. This is Dorcas that was dead and was raised up from the dead. And in verse 41, he gave her his hand, lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and the widows, presented her alive, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed. It was known and many believed. Why did they believe? Why were they there to believe? Because they came to see that this lady they knew was dead is now living, and they came to see that, and when they saw that, they were there for the hearing of the message. Do you see that? Signs and wonders is going one of the main tools to spread the gospel, to get people into the kingdom, to get their confession of faith and their declaration that Jesus is Lord. When they see something, they become listeners. You see that. It's in a lot of places. Look at, I believe it's in chapter 14, verse 3. Long time therefore abode they, that's the disciples, speaking boldly. They abode speaking boldly in the Lord, which is one thing that the disciples had asked in Acts chapter 4, that we can be bold, not timid, but bold, which gave testimony. Testimony is what you're in court of law, you have testimony, you're in, this is what I heard, this is what I saw, this is what I know. Gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Granted signs and wonders to be, that's why they were there listening. Because signs and wonders were being done. And they heard the testimony of people that were being healed and they came. Now, if we gather together as a body, just as the disciples did, and we pray in unity as a church body, that God would grant signs and wonders to be done, and we would speak with boldness and healing hands, and signs and wonders would manifest. And if that begins to happen, well, it will if we pray. People are going to come. Now look at Jesus. We got time. John chapter 2. What the Lord impressed on my heart was a need for us to unite in prayer for signs and wonders. That's what all this is about. That's what it said. We can have faith in a general sense that all of these nine things are going to happen here. They are going to happen here. But we can't orchestrate them. We can't demand them or command them. We pray. And then as the Spirit wills. And then Pastor Reggie said this decades ago. Do you write in your Bible? Mm-hmm. Me too. Keep your finger right there. I'll read this to you, what he said. It's very important. God demonstrates through the gifts what he will do for everyone who believes. God demonstrates through the gifts what he will do for everyone who believes. In other words, when I see the gifts, I can't orchestrate the gifts. I can't order gifts of healing. I can't order word of knowledge, word of wisdom. But when I see those things happening, I know my faith would do that. My faith would do that. My faith will do that. My faith will do that. My faith will do that. Do you see? John chapter 2. Jesus was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Now look at chapter 6, verse 2 of John. It says, a great multitude followed him because they saw. A great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Why were they following Jesus around? Because they saw people are getting healed. People are getting healed. Is that amazing? As a church, when we gather together and pray, and we pray for signs and wonders, it says, grant that with all boldness we may speak his word, all boldness by stretching forth. It said, grant that. Give us that. Give us boldness. If you're very timid, that's a good prayer for you. If you're on the verge of being less timid, that's a good prayer for you. Grant that with all boldness we may speak your word. How are we going to speak the word? By stretching forth your hand to heal. When the word is spoken, it's generally as it was in Philip and Peter and the disciples' ministry, because the people saw something in Jesus' ministry. They saw what was being done. They gathered together because they saw something. They wanted to know what was happening. And then the gospel was preached. Do you remember in early in Acts when the man at the gate called Beautiful was healed, and it said the people who knew him had been a long time in that place? And what happened? people came and filled Solomon's porch. The people came from all over in the temple. Why? Because this man wasn't walking. He can't walk. He couldn't walk. He's been sitting here for years begging alms, and now he's walking. Said he was walking, leaping, and praising God. Now, you can preach. And they did preach. And thousands were saved. How did it all begin?
One man was healed.
That was the whole beginning. One man was healed. One man was healed. And they came to see. Well, you know, if you hear some noises in your neighborhood, you're going to go out and see. We have loud neighbors, but at a distance. We don't have any close neighbors. And you wonder, I said, Wayne, do you hear that? Are they? Is that? And there is a facility not far from us that you can rent for dinner, and sometimes they play loud music. And sometimes it's this neighbor over here who, well, we think he's moved maybe because he's not loud anymore. I doubt he was reformed. And so we're out in the yard going, do you hear that? Do you hear that? What is that? Do you hear that? Do you see that? When people hear or see, they'll gather together, and then you can preach. You can't preach to them if they're not here. You can preach to them one-on-one on the street.